Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, I say to that. Who wouldn't want to be the widow and hear those words? Her former frustrations fought swallowed up in the pending justice to come. Although she may be insignificant to many, her consistent pleading has worked, and she has made her case known to the one who can bring justice. She is near victory. Don't you desire for God to say those words to you? How many times do we desire this when we're in our deepest needs? We've been taught to bring our needs to God in prayer. When we are most desperate, crying out to him actually seems the most natural, even base thing that we can do. Sometimes our cries are all that we have left. We may cry, plead, reason, do anything for an answer to our prayers. Sometimes we wonder if God gets sick of hearing us over and over, repeating the same cry, repeating the same prayers, repeating our desperate lamentations. Now, this gospel narrative doesn't include details on the widow's persistent bothering of the judge, but we assume it is repetitive, and it's gone on for some time, enough time to finally just wear him down. So we do know she had to be persistent, and for quite a bit of time. Persistent enough that he would get sick of her and be willing to act in her favor just to get rid of her. Maybe knowing this may help us as we grapple with our own prayer needs and struggles. Actually, in this narrative, the answer almost seems to come too quickly, too easily. We know in real life, the struggle is usually much more drawn out. I can recall joining many of you in these types of long-standing prayers to God. I even remember a few of my own, and I know that some among us are crying out as we speak. When one is in the midst of need with no answer in sight, it can be the darkest journey of the soul. We may wonder, is God listening? Is God even out there? Doesn't he care about me and my needs? And people around us tell us yes to these questions, and certainly our faith tells us yes to these questions. Yet as time continues to travel on and our prayers continue to plead to God with no answer in sight, we can lose heart that we will ever receive an answer, let alone true justice from God. Perhaps this gospel parable is given to us to offer us some encouragement in such times. Jesus often taught his disciples in parables. These are stories that Jesus shares that teach us important moral truths. If we condense today's parable even further than Luke does, it would be for Jesus to share with us that God will grant justice. In fact, Jesus tells us God will quickly grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. So, why doesn't God's justice seem quick to us at times? Well, perhaps it's our view of time itself. I believe our experience of time is very different than God's. In fact, all of our lives are lived in just the smallest slice of God's time. God, who is and was and ever shall be, exists out of time as we experience it. There was never a time that God was not, and there will never be a time that God will not be. God just is, since always and forever. But we, as part of creation, we have beginnings and we have ends. And so we travel through and mark time in ways that I don't believe God does. Hopefully these thoughts help us let go of any frustrations we may hold around this teaching and our own lack of experience with quick justice. I certainly hope so, because it's only when we can let go of that that we can get to the even deeper truth that this parable relays about God. God is just.
Amen.
And he will grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. Now, I can't help but share from personal experience now. I went through a very tumultuous time in my life where true justice was completely lacking. To summarize, I was the victim of a very serious crime. It left me injured physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And after this happened, I did all the right things. I reported it to the police, investigation and arrest followed, and I ultimately testified in court. The outcome seemed obvious to me. I knew the truth of what had happened, and I expected that truth to prevail. However, in the end, the jury did not hear enough evidence to convict. The attorney's case had not proven my truth, what I knew to be the truth. There appeared to be no justice for me after all I had been through. And I had to live with that injustice for decades. Yes, I went on living my life. I had so much good come to me. I had many blessings to celebrate. Yet there were always these feelings of injustice and unfairness that clouded me every day of my life. So again, in summary fashion, I will let you know that my body healed, and my heart healed, and my soul healed. And eventually, I was completely healed from this incident. I received such great healing from God, even if it took 30 years. It did come in stages, and even today I wonder if it's not fully complete. Although I do feel free of any former pain, and I even feel free of any injustice that I felt. Because through these healings, God brought compassion into my heart, compassion for the other person. And God brought this great desire for goodness and mercy to prevail for us both. And God brought deep forgiveness. Perhaps this was the true justice I had been seeking all along. Now, just as we might have to place ourselves in God's timing, we have to place ourselves in his justice as well. And God's justice might look a little differently than our own thoughts. The parable from Luke doesn't give us adequate details to know what the widow was seeking or how justice should prevail in her mind. It simply relays the promise that God's justice will come to his chosen ones. And our faith tells us to trust and believe in that. Now, back to the pleading. This parable also serves to teach us what to do when we find ourselves without hope, without fairness, or waiting for justice to prevail. We are to cry out. We are to cry out and plead and pray and carry on over and over and over again, bringing all of our feelings of injustice directly to God. After all, Jesus told this parable to his disciples about their need to pray always and never lose heart. Pray always and not to lose heart. Pray always. How simple, yet profound. This commends to us we are to place ourselves in constant contact in appeal to God. And our actions in this way not only confirm our belief in God, but our trust that He's with us and that He hears us and that He will answer us. Pray always. Pray in your joy. Pray in your needs. Pray in your frustrations and even injustice. Pray always. Sometimes we lack adequate words for prayer. That's okay. Certainly God understands our words, but God can also read our hearts and our needs without them. Never forget, God the Holy Spirit resides within us and moves within us and knows us so intimately. So if all you have is crying or pain, just pray them to God. Pray always and do not lose heart. The second part is important. When we are faced with such deep frustration over injustice, perhaps part of us has already lost heart, or lost hope, to put it in other words, lost connection to goodness and truth and justice. Yet the gospel message, in its essence, is all about hope. Again, not hope from our individual human standpoint, but much bigger hope than that. Hope from God's perspective. Hope so great it transforms everything. Hope so full it reaches every nook and cranny. Hope so profound it can only occur miraculously. That's what Jesus is talking about. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Because God's hope prevails. Just as God's justice prevails, the gospel of Jesus Christ promises that God's hope prevails, because his hope is founded on love. And his love created our world, and yes, created us, and his love is meant to sustain us and continue to work in our lives so that we are never separated from him or his love. See, his hope, just like his essence, is without beginning or end. Perhaps in moments of our lives we lose hope, but the gospel reminds us that God never does. God's hope prevails. We look to Jesus once again for guidance. One of the most challenging parts of salvation history to reflect on is Jesus' agony in the garden. It's believed that Jesus knew the night before he died about the suffering to come. And the gospel writers tell us of his deep agony. Jesus, alone, praying in the dark hours of the night while his closest companions fall asleep around him. He must have grappled within his human nature with the injustice of it all. Matthew tells us his prayer to God was, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Amen. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He doesn't try to run or hide what is before him, but he also doesn't try to face it alone, despite his earthly companions abandoning him. What he does is pray to God and does not lose heart in God's will or hope. That's our encouragement, especially knowing the end of the story, the end that hope prevails even over suffering and death. I've often wondered if Jesus remembered sharing this parable with his disciples during those long hours in the garden, or during the trial, or the beatings, or the crucifixion. I wonder if he kept anchored in it over and over again while he waited for God's justice to prevail. Although we will never know what his interior state truly was, we do know what he did. He prayed and never lost hope. And that, my friends, is what we're encouraged to do. Amen.